Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Emma Mailman.
And welcome back. It has been a little while. Emma, are you excited about our guests that we have with us today?
I'm very excited. I can't wait to see where this goes.
Right. So we have a couple of Harvard girls with us today. Right, Em?
Harvard girlies.
Yeah, so exciting. Right now they're looking at us and they're like, we're going to kill you. We're really going to kill you. Like, yeah. So we would love to welcome back our one and only center director, Kimberly Ingalls, and our sales and marketing director, Christy Gregnon. So welcome, Kim and Christy.
Thank you, ladies. Nice to
meet you. I was going to say, thanks for having us back yet again. Haven't screwed up enough, Kim. I say it every time.
I know. We blew it.
Yeah. We can't let you go. It's too much fun. We have a really good time when we get together and do these things. So yeah, we're poking at them a little bit because they are both Harvard students right now. So, and not like they weren't busy enough. And now they're going to put that on their plates as well. So congrats and kudos to you two for doing that, because that takes a lot. So enjoy that. Let me know how it goes for you.
I'm Googling it right now. I don't even know what their mascot is. What is Harvard?
Oh my gosh. Can we discuss
some how beer pride in their Harvard? It's like, oh, where do you work? Oh, I went to school at Harvard.
Yes.
Oh, what's your last name? It's Harvard.
Yes.
Wait, time out. This is just the extension school. Let's not get all excited here.
Well, believe me, right now, all the people from Harvard that do listen probably aren't listening anymore. One, and if they are still listening, they're like, they're not in real Harvard. Like,
stop or anybody about. Can get into Harvard.
Yeah, right.
I think the best part and the highlight of our leadership class is we have two people from Australia there, and their accents are unbelievably awesome. But they start every class. Kim, what is it at like 2 o'clock? And they start every class with good morning. And we're like, no. The day's almost over.
Oh, that sounds wonderful though. It's an accent piece.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
And it's nice and warm down there right now because it's their summertime. So they're probably thankful.
Getting good grades and making friends. Look at you guys go, huh?
World travelers right here. We got world travelers.
Yeah. Right.
So next thing you know, they'll be taking a girls trip to Australia. Off they go.
That's a great idea.
I know.
And we're off.
So we are here today with Kim and Christy. We're not here to talk about Harvard, and no, please don't send us mean emails about Harvard, and you know, we weren't picking on it. We are thoroughly proud of them for them attending and going to these classes, because it's a big part of who we are as an organization. So it's a little bit of our practice, what we preach as well. So that's why we're talking about it. And it's also fun for us to pick on them. So it's really, you know, it's a little bit of a selfish thing too, but we are here to talk to them today. We're going to talk to them a little bit about MassMEP and where we're headed for 2022. So yes, it's 2022. We are almost a third of the way down with the year already, which is insanity.
That sounds gross.
Right? A third of the year. Yeah. Emma now understands the perspective of how quickly life goes.
Yeah.
As a
and it's disturbing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not it.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, time flies when you're having fun, Em.
That's it.
It does with us. Yeah. It does. It does with us. Yeah. Before you know it, you will have aged 20 years and you'll be us.
Don't get on that. Just don't get on Amazon Chime. It makes you look like you're 40 years older. It's awful.
No filters on the Amazon Chime. It's their internal like Zoom, but it's Chime. No
filters. No filters.
Oh, the natural look, huh? Mm, yeah. Can't be doing that nowadays.
I look like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh my gosh. All right. So as we know, we always do a icebreaker. And because it's an all ladies group, I'm going to ask a question. So when we were all little, there was probably toys that we particularly played with. And so I'm going to ask, were you a Barbie girl or not?
Good question, Haley. I will tell you, I was not. One of my favorite things was street hockey with the boys, playing baseball on the boys team. And yeah, kick of the can.
Get out. No Barbies at all, huh?
No, it wasn't my thing.
Wow. Kim, that says a lot. Like, I totally know who you are now as a person.
Yeah. I mean, I had Barbie dolls, I think, but
yeah,
I would rather not. I would do other things. I'd go fishing, put the worms on the hooks, you know.
Oh, God, Kim, that's awesome. I love that. I love that. Such respect.
Thanks.
I know this is funny because I didn't expect to have such a diverse answer that I'm going to get right now, but I really am, aren't I, Christy?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was a crazy Barbie girl. Peaches and Cream was my favorite Barbie doll. And I collected them. I still have like boxes of collectible Barbies. Yeah. Wow. Insane. Wedding Barbies. I have my wedding year Barbie. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you a funny story about Barbies. So when my daughter was younger, she had brothers and she let her brothers cut all the Barbie's hair off and color it with markers. She really didn't have any, that wasn't her thing either. So maybe it's hereditary. I'm not sure.
Oh my God. And I even think of American Girl dolls. Like, if I had those growing up, I would have been. Maddie had her first American Girl doll when she was one. And then they just exploded from there. So clearly it was really just for me.
Yeah.
And there were certain dolls I wouldn't let her take out of the box.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Those things are worth some serious money. That's why.
Especially when they get retired.
Like, yeah. Yeah. God. Oh my gosh. Emma, how about for you? You're
all right, Emma.
You're team Kim.
Yeah, I'm with Kim. My mom actually, like Christy, she collects Barbies, so she has a ton. And then we did American Girl dolls. My sister had like 8 of them, something crazy.
Yeah.
I probably played for like maybe like 2 months with the American Girl, just so I could go to the store because you can eat with your doll, but the food's really good and the banana splits are humongous. So I put my work in and I went to the store and that was about it for me. I was not that an was indoor play with dolls kind of girl. No, I set up this, I had like the Ninja Warrior course. You ever seen that show? In like my backwoods through the trees. That's where I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not playing with dolls.
That's so funny. So you're team Kim. That's funny. Yeah. I'm going to have to go with Christy on this one. I loved being outdoors. But I loved Barbies too. I loved, for me, it was imagination and what they could and couldn't do. And My Little Ponies was also another big one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The My Little Ponies.
They still are. Just so you know.
I can't play with them. Like something about when people play with them and you do the fake voices, it's just like, I get severely uncomfortable where I'm like, what's going on? Like, I feel like I'm like tripping out or I'm stuck somewhere. I'm like, what is going on? It just that doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. So I was kidding.
So just so you know, I still do that. It's just in real person, like talking to myself.
Actually on some of our podcasts, she's been known to do.
So people might think we're way off base right now, right? But all these things have to be manufactured, right?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of where we go with it. So yeah, it is. They do. They go. And that's what's funny when you say that though, Christy, because even when, you know, I've obviously been with Massimi Pino a little over 2 years, but I remember when we started, or when I started, and you had said to me, you'll be amazed at everything's manufactured, and you don't really think that through, but literally everything and anything that you touch is manufactured. Your toothbrush is manufactured. Your toothpaste is manufactured. So people don't think that way. But then, as you had said, and then you'll start to drill down even further and say, you know, that's made in Mass, right? You know, that's made in Mass, right? And then I have now become you, and I am now like the full Mass MEP, like in Florida on a trip saying, hey, that's made in Mass. So yeah,
literally just happened. She was showing me a store online, mm-hmm. and it was the products, and she was like, and they're all made in USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. You got to try to shop made in America.
Yeah.
It's harder than you think, but it's actually super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be our challenge this year at the Christmas party. All the gifts we do, the gifts have to be made in Mass.
Yes. Well, we're already talking about Christmas.
We went from 3
months into the year and now Christmas.
Absolutely. And so that being said, so if anybody's listening right now, if you make something in Massachusetts and you think would be good for us to have at our Christmas party, let us know and say, hey, shout out, reach out to us through our website at massmap.org. We have a contact us page, and literally just put in there, you know, Christmas. That's all you have to put. Christmas gifts made in Mass. We would love to know that. We also do a big to do about it, obviously, for Manufacturing Month, which is in October. Manufacturing Day is October 7th this year, because it's the first Friday of October every year. So it's on the Friday the 7th this year. So yeah, you gotta let us know. We love supporting our local guys.
We will repost it everywhere.
Yes, we will. Yeah. So let's kind of dig in. We did have some fun and it was entertaining, but let's really start talking about Mass MEP. So every year we get together and we try to talk about what we've got going on for the year, for, you know, whether it comes to, you know, what our priorities are, what we see is happening with manufacturing, you know, in Massachusetts, and even maybe we'll touch on some things where what you guys are excited about seeing that's going to happen with manufacturing in Massachusetts. So we'll open it up and let's kind of dig into our first question is, what are your top three priorities at Mass MEP for 2022?
So to me, like, I tie this to, so there's an MEP in every state, right? And we are focused on Massachusetts manufacturing. Our funding umbrella is federally funded through the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And so we do our strategic plans and look at our initiatives so that they align with our federal partner, NIST. And they will provide their initiatives and priorities of what they think going through their own strategic plans and how it best influences and helps manufacturers, right, in every state. So for us, we kind of try and align with that in the center. And so right now, some of the biggest initiatives, and there's a couple, but there's advanced manufacturing, supply chain, workforce, industry 4.0, cybersecurity, right? Those are top level things that they're looking at. And a lot of it has to do with based on, you know, some of the challenges and stuff that we've had in the manufacturing industries and everywhere, you know, for that matter, with COVID and, you know, with anything else going on in the nation. So that's kind of how we work toward it. And Christy, you might want to add in, you know, how we align with some of that stuff. And how we as a center make that work.
Yeah. So those are some really broad topics that NIST has said, you know, okay, let's approach this and the supply chain. So we break it down into smaller chunks. So our business development advisors will come out to the centers or come out to the manufacturing facilities and talk to you about what your supply chain issues are. And then we put together a training on supply chain management for you. But really, it's really about finding that local supplier, you know, onshore versus offshore. but we work with a great company, Business Improvement, and we've put together some supply chain management trainings that will be offset by the Workforce Training Fund program. So of course, if you're a company under 100 employees, it's 100% reimbursable, or over, it's 50% reimbursable. And Haley and Emma are gonna put on some great webinars this year about supply chain management as well. With the advanced manufacturing and the industry 4.0, we've been working really closely with a couple of our partners, Boston Engineering and Spinnaker, in working with them in developing an industry 4.0 roadmap. With that industry 4.0 roadmap, we're going to be able to identify what areas of industry 4.0 your company wants to move into. So additive manufacturing, automation, all really key factors for our workforce, because if we can't find people to come in and work for us, we have to be more adaptable and be able to grow and be leaner. So bringing in automation and additive manufacturing is really important for the workforce and for the future. And then cybersecurity, if anything, it's just going to get more intense and worse. So making sure that, especially if you're in the DoD supply chain, that you're CMMC 2.0 certified. So making sure that you're going through that assessment, and MassMEP can certainly support you with that. And then there's a lot of things going on with workforce. You know, we partner with Mass Tech Collaborative, who is heading up the Mass Bridge program. There's a lot of good programs that are going into the vocational schools and the community colleges for the technician of the future, who will go into these positions for the automation and for the additive manufacturing, for photonics. So really just building up that pipeline so that we have a workforce for the future. So those somewhat align with what
we do. And that's not to say priorities change, right? Given any factor at any point in time for the manufacturing industry itself, right? We always want to make sure we're supporting and helping in that arena as well.
You guys touched on it a little bit, talking about some of the stuff coming up this year that we're going to be involved in, but just overarching, can you tell us a little bit about where you see manufacturing in Massachusetts going in 2022? Are there key initiatives MassMEP is focused on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think given the last few years of all the challenges, right, like we mentioned, how that affects our economy, how it affects our state, I think you have to look at it with a broad stroke, in a sense of making sure that, you know, not only are we aligning with what initiatives that are brought to us, right? But listening to the manufacturers, listening to what some of their pain points are, trying to make sure that, you know, throughout that pandemic, the resilience, the pivoting of, and the support that the manufacturers did helped this economy so much. And it was such a huge and fast process. That's how amazing that industry really is, and how much they can accomplish and move forward. So I think that alone makes a huge, I mean, like a huge difference and a change in how manufacturing is looked at too. And we want to make sure that, you know, we're looking at that as well. And I'm sure Christy has some other ideas too.
Oh, thanks, Kim. Way to put me on the spot. What if I
love
didn't?
The handoff?
Nope, sorry. No other ideas here. Back to you, Kim.
Oh gosh.
No, I mean, Kim nailed it. It's been a tough couple of years for manufacturers. And I think what we're really finding is it's feast or famine. We're either seeing manufacturers are struggling because they're not getting the materials they need to make the product and get them out the door. So they're really struggling to stay in business. And then there's the others that have so much business, but they don't have the workers to get the supplies out the door. So it's that double-edged sword, if anybody likes those types of things, that damned if you do, damned if you don't. So it's just a matter of trying to balance the scales and making sure that our supply chain is strong. And I'm going to reiterate what I just said, onshore versus offshore, it has to come back to us. Mm-hmm. I know NIST is working on an initiative, and they're working on through the MERT 2.0, a database. Where can we find these suppliers? It is a huge undertaking. It's going to be so hard to sustain, but it has to be done so that if you need something, you can go to one database, find out who supplies it locally so that you can just drive up the coast, meet with them, see them, and have the product the next day. So I think that's really something critical that everybody is working on. I know there are states that are working on it on their own, but we want to find a national database that everybody can go to. So that's a huge initiative. So hopefully with the policy that's on the president's table, when that gets approved, that money will go to that and we can start the process of that. But it has to be self-sustaining too. The manufacturers are going to have to input the information and keep it up to date. So it goes back to the manufacturer at some point. It's not Kim and I can't sustain this database of what you're doing in your businesses. So that's a help us help you situation.
Yeah, everybody.
So would you say that's something that you're most excited for? We have pretty big stuff coming up this year. We have mashup round two, industry 4.0 road mapping. What would you say is the number one thing you're looking forward to?
Well, so because Haley and Emma shared with us that we're a third of the way through the year, I'm going to have to go month to month. So right now I'm most excited about the Industry 4.0 conference because that's in May. But after May, I'm going to be most excited about the mashup, which is in September. But yeah, you can't put one over the other. They're both going to be fantastic events with tons of information and tons of resources for manufacturers. So you don't want to miss either of them for sure.
Yeah, and that's statewide. That's so beneficial to have that kind of group together in a platform where they can share best practices. See other other companies and see what they're doing or how it can benefit them. That's really the exciting part of being involved in that and seeing the connections that get made and amazing things like that. And Christy quickly mentioned, so we're hoping for that that bill to pass, and it should be March 18th is what we're given as a date. And that will provide the national network with further funding, which again flows down to all the states. So we can only do so much more with that. So it's very exciting and promising. It looks like it's going in the right direction. So it's a good feeling thing.
Haley, what about you? You're always asking the questions.
Oh, about what
are you most excited for?
I'm excited about the Industry 4.0 event. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I think we just had our company update meeting, and it had been a while that since we had all been together in person as a group. And so after that, I think that's, you get that excitement built up again and seeing everybody coming together. And, we're not going to do a big event. We're doing a smaller size event. Some people would think that we were crazy saying that's a smaller size event, but we think it's small, right? I think for me, knowing that, like Kim and Chrissy both say about the best practices and what we learn, and if anything that we did learn a lot about the past, 2 years since we've been doing this, is how much pride there is within, especially within the state of Massachusetts. And I can only speak to that because of that's where we are and that's who we've spoken to over the past 2 years, but the pride of what they do, what they stand for. I can say Emma and I went to AccuRounds last week. And even then, in having that conversation, the gentleman that walked us through the plant, they were so excited and just proud of, they made a part that actually helped with the vaccine. And he even said in his own words, something along the lines of, you might have to clear it up a little bit, but I think he said something along the lines of just that we felt like we were really a big part of something or something along those lines, right?
Yeah, he said when they started it, Mike Tomasi, I'm pronouncing his last name correct, right?
That's right. Yep.
How much pride that he had taken into it, into how much pride he had in it, even before that they had started the process. It was something that he wanted to go after and ended up doing it. And they have a little shelf where they get to show off some of the things that they helped create during COVID. It was really neat. All the employees seemed pretty enthusiastic about it. You can tell that.
Yeah.
That
Think about how many more stories there are like that. Even just in Massachusetts, about all the things that these companies have stepped up to and, made
it's
that.
Neat seeing the smallest things have such a big impact. Like you made one, they made one, they came together and had this huge impact. Yep. It's really neat.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think too that the younger generations, if they could see that, like what goes into what to make it happen, I think you get more excited about manufacturing. It's hard to get excited about this little piece, but when you think about it, like I have a friend who owns a screw shop in, he's in Connecticut, and he makes a screw that goes into a seatbelt. I mean, a seatbelt on an airplane, excuse me. I'm telling you, it's the teeniest, tiniest little screw. It means absolutely nothing to me. And yet it could potentially save my life someday when I'm on an airplane. Like it is, yeah, it's the most important little screw. Not to mention, he makes a boatload of cash each year making these little screws.
That's insane.
But you just don't think about the little pieces like that, you know, that are so, so important.
And so, I think too, you saying that, Christy, about like the onshoring, you know, how important that is with the supply chain and everything. Like a perfect example is us. When we needed to go, we had to do an event. We couldn't use a screen because the screen didn't have a part, because the part was the tiniest part that was probably the size of that screw that went into that seatbelt, but it wasn't here. It wasn't made here. So they had to wait almost 6 months, I think they had said at that point, to even get that piece in to be able to, you know, bring that screen down, which we didn't get to use. We're get to use it in May of this year for our event, but we couldn't use it last time. So you just don't realize the, almost like the domino effect of it and how it, you know, it really does. It starts at one end and the way it filters all the way through. So it is pretty impressive. I think having us come back together and be able to talk and, you know, I was going to ask the question and you answered it before I could ask it, Kim, about, you know, the bill and what we're looking at. And I think the other thing is a lot of people who don't, you know, if they don't really educate and listen to what's, you know, they might get one side of something, maybe not get both sides and not really understand they, you know, looking at us and going, well, how are they getting this or where is this coming from? A lot of people might ask the question, then do you as an organization ever get concerned that what if something were to happen? Obviously there's stuff going on right now. There's a lot of noise right now in the world. And if the president has to make some adjustments, is that stuff secured and it's done? And are we going to get that funding or does that end up maybe getting pulled to the side? Like, do they work out in time? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so are we looking at funding that's already been put to the side and it's already been determined for the 2022 year and that can't be touched?
So it's 2023. Okay. So yeah. So, and that's how that's their strategic plan, right? How they continue that process. They're always looking that much further ahead. And obviously circumstances like that can certainly make a change or difference, but from where it sits in that particular, in the Congress and the state and the House, it's pretty much there's allocated funds, but and that's where they want it to move forward. But will that funding be pulled for something else? You don't ever know that. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of trying to find. They have to balance it out, right? So the other things may take precedence over certain situations. But in most cases, it's already an allocated budget.
Good. Well, good. Do we think that I'm hoping and I'm thinking from what I'm hearing, but are you hearing like, especially about like manufacturing months, we're going to be a lot more open and a lot more in person and a lot more tours and things like that? Do you think that's going to happen this year again?
Yeah, I'm hoping it does. I think it makes a big difference, the in-person part of it. I think everyone's had it with Zoom kind of deal. Yeah. And, you know, even people's like interactions and personalities, and it changes so much over an in-person versus a Zoom, right?
Yeah, because on Zoom, when you're playing a game and you get a little competitive, you can't reach the screen and grab people's clothespins.
That was so intense.
Yeah.
A little bitter.
He was
about
on
this.
His toes. He was on his tippy toes getting ready to take his first step. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Insane. We had our company update meeting. We did a little celebration for one of our colleagues who is getting ready to go out and bring a new life into this world. Let's say that.
She's growing the Massimi P pipeline.
Yeah, there it is. Yep, there it is. She did get a uniform for the new life that she has bestowed upon herself within her stomach. And the little uniform was a little Massimi P project manager in training uniform. But we did a little celebration for her yesterday. And one of our games we played was the clothespin game. But we did it by teams. We like to do a lot of cross-functional groups and team bonding. And it's a good way for us as an organization to cross-promote and get to know each other in a work and in a little bit more of a personal level as well. And so we did the clothespin game. But this way we did it. It was in the middle of the table. And if you said the word baby, you lost your clothespin. And so there were literally people, it was almost like full tackle football at one point.
It was.
Yes.
People were boxing each other out.
Yes, there was boxing out.
This is the first time I've seen you in a year, right?
Yeah, but everyone loved it. It was great. It was a great action thing. I loved it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was one of those things. And we were worried a little bit, like, because usually you put the clothespins on yourself. Thank God we didn't do that.
No, that would have been full on tackle.
Oh yeah, men and women would have been down all over the floor. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad that we didn't, but it was fun. We had a good time with it. So yeah. Yeah, so that's it for us. So coming up, we have, obviously it's March. We have a couple of things going on in March. We have a Women's Day workshop that we've got going on in March. And what else do we have in March, Em?
That's the only one right now. It's April. That gets a little bit busier. We have Manufacturing Your Career Opportunities on the 12th. A little job fair going on at Tegra with the involvement of Mass Hire and Representative Roy, which I think is pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then in May, we have ISO coming at you guys, 11th and 12th, and Manufacturing Your Future with Industry 4.0 on the 29th.
Yeah, we have a couple of other events. We haven't gotten them up on the calendar yet, but we will have, like Christia said, we do have an upcoming ERP event that we will be getting on the calendar. We will be doing that in March. And then in April, we'll also, we just got booked and we'll be doing another frontline supervisor information session. So that's another great training opportunity that's available out there for the manufacturers if you're interested in something along those lines. Just attend the info session just to hear it out and see if it's a good fit for what you are looking to do. We kind of knew the first quarter of 2022 would be a little bit quieter, a little bit slower when it came to the manufacturers. I think a lot of people were shut down for the last 2 weeks in December. And so when they came back in January, it was kind of like, you know what, let's have a fresh start. Christie's wish or New Year's resolution almost is completely true. Close, couple months off, but having COVID be gone, it's pretty darn close.
You mean 1 year and a couple months off?
Well, yeah, I was going to let you slide on the year on that one, but it's a never dull moment. It seems like in this world, if we go from one thing to another, right? So now we're at a point where we're working in another area of this chaos that goes on around us. So hopefully that won't impact us as much.
Well, Haley, and I think the most exciting part too is that we're starting to sprinkle in these in person, right? So Women's Day is going to be in person. ISO is going to be a hybrid or in person. So we're starting to really get people back in to see each other. And I think it changes everything. Even if it is like tackle football, it's worth it.
I agree.
Don't worry. We won't play the clothespin game at any of these events. So you'll be okay. We won't make you come in full pads. It'll be all right. You don't have to worry.
A lot of exciting things going on here at MassMEP. Hey, yeah. And you know what? At the end of the year, let's do another one of these and then we'll see how far we got.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we will.
Christy, you're it.
No, there's lots of exciting things happening and manufacturing is growing. So we just need to make sure that we're ensuring our manufacturers have everything that they need to be successful, because like Haley said, everything relies on them. Everything you touch every day is manufactured. So no pressure to the manufacturers.
No, none at all. None at all.
Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you didn't do what you did, I don't think we would be able to do what we do either. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So like we said, full circle, right? So yeah.
Yep.
Well, we will, Emma and I are going to go through and see what other fun topics we can bring to have you two on with us again.
I thought you were going to say you were going to go through and figure out what you have to take out.
We're leaving it all in.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to really get to know us on this one.
Yeah. I don't think we need, I don't think there needs to be a whole lot of editing done in this one. I think we're good to go. So everybody, yeah, everybody gets the luxury of.
Right, I want to see it before it goes out.
You got to listen. You got to listen to it. Yeah. You gotta yeah. Always check our social media. We got a lot of fun promotions going on in social media. And for those of you that you got to always got to watch, Emma's got some great little promotions going on. So our social media, it's hopping right now. It's where all the cool kids are at. All right. Well, thanks, ladies. I appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you, girls.
You're
welcome.
Thank
you, guys.
You're welcome. So thanks, everyone, for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.